every day asking God for. We're going to talk about maybe what we should be asking God for as well. Now, along with prayer, along with the avenue of speaking and sharing with God, we also have to ask the question, what am I declaring over my life every single day? Now, I'm not saying that we should declare things that are inappropriate or impossible. You know, God, I'm declaring that I want a $1 million house, or I want to drive a Ferrari or whatever. Maybe that's a little unreasonable, but saying, I'm declaring that today I'm going to be a better spouse. Today I'm going to try hard to parent my children. Today I'm going to be the best employee where I am. Today I'm going to try to be someone that God is calling me to be. Now, I find that sometimes, and we all are guilty of this, when we pray, sometimes we ask God in the wrong ways, or we kind of box him in to the ways that things that we want him to really give us. And some of the things that we shouldn't do is we should not ask God manipulatively. We should not kind of do the odds and bargain with him. God, if you give me everything that I want, then I'll do some good for you. If you just do what I think you should do for me, then I will do something in turn for you. That's a manipulative ask. Our kids are geniuses at this. They do this exceptionally well. Another way is we should never ask out of laziness or insecurity. You know, it's kind of like going to take the test. Dear God, help me pass this test. Well, if you didn't study, you know, God's not going to pour out the miraculous so that you can get a better grade. Sometimes we're lazy, or sometimes we're insecure, and we don't ask the way that we should. Well, God, if you want to do that, if you think that's best for me, and we use the old adage of, well, your will, not mine, instead of actually asking what we should ask. We have to become courageous askers. When it comes to God, we should ask in a way that we're brave, that we have courage. We teach our kids to be brave and have courage, and yet sometimes when we stand before God, we don't ask him with the same courage that we teach our kids to have. Now, a few rules about prayer. I think that we know them. We should ask appropriately. But don't ask for things that are impossible or things that are right outside the realm or things that only affect you and your life and make your life better. We have to learn to ask appropriately. We have to learn to ask boldly. We've got to say what we want. You know, in our house sometimes we sit down and our kids are frustrated or annoyed. What's the word that we say to them? Use your words. Tell us what's going on. We can't help you unless you communicate with us. We're calling them to speak boldly to us. The Bible speaks about the prayers that are offered with boldness. The first one is found in James 5, and this is a text you guys know. The whole book of James is really about prayer. It has a lot to do with how we pray and how we approach God. But James 5 and verse 15, if you have your Bibles, it says, and the prayer offered in faith, meaning with boldness, with belief, will make a sick person well, and the Lord will raise them up. If they've sinned, they'll be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can be healed. And the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. It's not just, now you say, well, I'm not a righteous person. Well, none of us are. But people that are seeking to do the will of God and seeking the right things are considered righteous. It says the prayers that are offered in faith, not prayers that are like, well, God, if you feel like doing that, if you have time on your schedule to do that. He says we've got to pray and we've got to declare, we've got to be bold about what we're asking God for. And we must not be afraid of rejection. Sometimes we don't pray certain things because we're scared of rejection. I want to tell you a little secret. If your house is anything like ours, our kids ask us a million times a day for a million different things, right? Can I have dessert? Can I do this? Can we play outside? Can we do that? You know what's funny about my kids? Even though a lot, I say no, it doesn't stop them from asking. Sometimes when we pray, dear God, can you do this? And it doesn't happen, so we say, I'm never asking for that again. I'm never going to pray that prayer again. And yet what Jesus teaches in the Sermon on the Mount, and I love the way that the Message says this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 to 11. I just want to read this because it's such an important and powerful passage. It says, don't bargain with God. Be direct. Ask for what you need. This isn't a cat and mouse hide and seek game we're in. If your child asks you for bread, do you trick him with sawdust? If he asks for a fish, do you scare him with a live snake on his plate? As bad as you are, you wouldn't think of such a thing. You're at least decent to your own children. So don't you think that the God who conceived you in love will be even better? I love the way the Message says, look, you're bad, OK? okay? As bad as you are as people that have the human condition, you still do good things. And yet, God, who is even better, will do good things. Asking is a skill that we develop. It's not a personality trait. It's not something that you're just born with. Well, I'm good at this. I'm good at being in front of crowds. Or I'm good at doing this. Or I'm good at speaking. Or I'm good at asking. It's something that we are called to develop in our lives when it comes to our relationship with God. So today, I want to encourage us to become askers. I want us to each become askers of God in all things. You know, there's a great picture that I like. It's a picture of Billy Graham standing before crowds. This is in South Korea, in Seoul, South Korea. Probably the largest crowd he ever had. Do you think at some point in his life he asked God to do something with his life? I think at some point he said, God, I have a passion for the gospel and I want to reach people. And God said, because you asked, because you believed, because you had faith, I will continue to give you crowds that you can lead to Christ. At some point in his life, he asked God in boldness, and God gave him more than he expected. So I'm going to give you 7 principles for the new year. Number one is this. We've got to ask more. Some of us struggle in our prayer lives. I'm one of those people. I'm one of those people that when life seems to go well, my prayer life kind of falls off. I don't know why it is, and I really hate that. And when life is difficult and things turn, then I suddenly try to climb my way back to God. And yet what the Bible consistently says is that God is a Father who listens to us every single day. If I only listened to my kids once a week or a couple of hours a day, we wouldn't have a great relationship, but we're engaged constantly in this relationship of talking and sharing. The Bible says consistently that we should be asking more. Look at this great parable that Jesus tells in Luke chapter 18. He's talking to his disciples, and it says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Jesus tells his disciples, he's going to tell them a parable now to remind them that they should ask more. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with this plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I do not fear God or care about what people think, sounds like a real preach this guy, doesn't he? Yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust says, an unjust judge says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? You see, one of the things that this text shares is that our job is about asking. Our job is not about giving. God is the one who will give. Our job is to ask. And Jesus says to them, he's telling them this parable so that they will always pray and kind of keep bothering God. We are the persistent widow, and God, although this is an unjust judge, God is the just judge. And if we keep asking him, eventually we will get what he promises to give us. We have to learn to ask. The second one is this, number two. A no should not slow down our progress. Sometimes when we pray, God says no. Now, the question that maybe we need to ask ourselves is, why am I getting a no from God? Why is God giving me this no? Am I asking it in the wrong way? Am I not asking it because it really doesn't push forward his kingdom? Is it really all about me? What's going on in the midst of this? Now, sometimes a no means not now. Sometimes God says, I know you're asking for that, and that's great. Maybe you're asking for a relationship. Maybe you're asking for God to lead somebody in your life. Maybe you're asking God for a mentor or an apprentice. Maybe you're asking God for a better job, and God's saying, I'm not done with where you are, and I want to give you more things, but the reality is you need to learn what you need to learn right where you are. And I'm saying no to you, not because I hate you, but I'm saying no to you because I know you're not going to be successful in this where you are right now. Sometimes a no just means not now. A no can also mean that it's better the way that it is. Sometimes we ask God for things and we get frustrated because we don't see it happening. And I see this a lot when people are praying for healing in people's lives. I personally believe that most of the miracles that God does, we never actually see. because we're not smart enough to grasp what God is actually doing. Sometimes God says, where you are right now, I know you think you want it better, but it's not going to be the way that you think it's going to be. A no should never frustrate us to stop asking for what we want. A no is God's love and guidance. Sometimes do you tell your kids no ever? No, you can't do that. No, you can't eat that. No, you can't go there. It's not because we hate our children. It's because we love our children, and we want to make sure that they're taking the right steps in their lives. And sometimes we say no to them, not because we mean that forever, but because we mean for a time, because we want them to take hold of it and really be successful, and right now they're not going to be. The same is true with our relationship with God. Sometimes we ask, and sometimes God will say no. Number three, we have to be clear about what we ask. Sometimes we sort of pray things very obscurely to try to sneak something in. Sometimes when we have a problem or a request, we just need to be clear. If you ever had a communication with your spouse, especially in those early years of marriage, you try to say something difficult as nicely as you can. And after you've been married for a while, you just kind of drop that and you say, I know this is going to hurt your feelings and I love you, but you need to stop doing this. Sometimes you just got to do that. Sometimes you just have to be clear and concise and say, this is what I need from you, and I need to know if you're committed to us and that we're going to do this together. The same is true for God. Don't try to, God knows what you're trying to ask for, but have the courage to be clear and concise about what you're asking for. I'm going to share something. I've prayed in my life that God would protect me and my family. Maybe it's a prayer you prayed as well. I want to do ministry for a long time. I want to share the kingdom of God with people, and I believe that God is maybe still using me to do that. But there are moments that I feel God protecting me. I'll give you an example. I have a cell phone. Everybody has a cell phone. About 3 or 4 times a year, I'll leave my cell phone at home. Does it ever happen to you? Something's disheveled, you leave it somewhere, okay? Then you come back. Now, I will tell you, God doesn't make me forget my cell phone, but I'm pretty sure he hides it. Okay? I really think something's going on. I've checked the cameras many times at home, but one day I'm going to figure it out. But you know what happens? I go home, and I'm frustrated, and I'm pulling up cushions, and I'm going back to, like, rewalking my whole steps. I finally will find it after a few minutes. I'll get back in the car, and every time that happens to me, I feel a distinct presence that God has kept me from something. That maybe I didn't run into somebody that I should have, that was going to make me have a bad experience. Or maybe something was there. I feel in those moments, even though I forget and I'm frustrated, when I sit down and I'm on my way to something, I feel the distinct protection of God, that he is keeping me away from something that I didn't need to be around. You see, sometimes we have to see the interruptions and the inconveniences in our lives as God answering our prayers. Sometimes the things that happen to you are not because God does not like you, but because God is protecting you, and we're just too blind to see his hand in the midst of that. We get so frustrated when there's a lot of traffic, or when the weather's bad, or something like that, and yet we do not understand that sometimes God is working and protecting us in the midst of those things. Maybe what you've prayed for, God is answering, but not in the way that you thought. We've also got to learn, number 5, not to pray for what we want so much, but for what we really need in our lives. What do you really need in your life? I'm not saying God doesn't ever give us some of our wants, but we have to prioritize our lives around what we really need rather than simply the stuff that we want. Number 6, we need to learn to ask for wisdom. Now you think, well, that's kind of interesting. That's not something that happens. But listen to what James 1 and verse 5 promises to us. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Maybe sometimes the problem that we have in our lives is because we're not asking for the things that God has promised us. I mean, if you have something wonderful in your home that you want to share with your family, but you're just waiting for them to ask for it. That's what the Bible really is talking about in this instance. It's saying that we are not wise people by nature. Yes, I know that as life goes on, we gain wisdom as we get a little bit older. But the reality is that sometimes the godly wisdom, the spiritual wisdom that we lack, we need to ask God. God has a bag full of wisdom that he wants to share with us, but we don't ask him. And he says, I'll give it to you if you just ask me for it. If you ask me, if you create some space in your heart and in your life, I'll fill it up with the things that you actually need. You just have to ask. Maybe some of us say, well, I don't know what to pray for. Start by praying for wisdom. God, look at my heart. Look at my life. Tell me what I need to be praying about. God will reveal that to you. He will share that with you as well. Number six, a heart that is aligned with God prays differently. A heart that is aligned with God. God, where do you want me? Not just about me, but about you first. We'll ask very differently. And then number seven, the hardest one maybe for all of us, is that we need to learn to listen. When God speaks to us, when God shares with us, we've got to learn to be good listeners. I'm not a great listener. I'm a good asker when I need to be. But I'm not always a great listener. God says, I want this to be a relationship. I don't want this just to be about you have a checklist of what you want to ask me for today. I want you to really listen to what I want to share with you as well. I found that when I'm quiet for extended period of times, I tend to hear the voice of God better than when I'm speaking all the time. You know, there's a great little way to think about this, maybe. I don't know if you drink coffee, if you like to go to Starbucks or Roasters or Palace or Evocation or wherever you want to go. Hope I didn't leave any out. But what if you were just sitting at your table, just sitting down, having your morning coffee? Maybe you were reading a good little article about something, or maybe you were just checking your phone. What if God sat down next to you? Chatted for a while. And then he said, what do you really want? What can I give you? What do you need from me? What would our answer be? What would you tell God that you really, truly wanted? You see, and one of the hardest things with prayer, and maybe that's why it's a good example, is that God says yes to us as people, as his children. But he doesn't always say yes to everything that we want. Sometimes he says no to what we want because he loves us and because he cares about us. And we're just bad at taking those moments when God really says to us, what do you want? I want you to know today, that's the question that God is asking you right now. What do you want? What do you want to leave behind in 2019? What do you want to start in 2020? What are you declaring in your life? I'm going to be the best person that I can. I'm going to be better than I was in 2019. I'm going to work harder. I'm going to be a better friend. I'm going to pour more of my life into the people that I love. What are you declaring in your life? When God asks me today, what do I want? I say, I want us to be a church that reflects him. I want people to come to this church that maybe have had bad experiences somewhere else, but they'll find God here because we're all crazy anyway. Thank you. Mm-hmm. But maybe they'll find some hope here. I pray that people will come and find Jesus, that our children will be raised to be warriors. I pray for you. I want God to bless your life. I want you to feel his presence so much this next year. That's why I want to encourage you to be in the Word. I want to encourage you to spend every day praying for something bigger than yourself. And maybe today you say, I really just want to get rid of something that I can't seem to get rid of. What do you want? God says to you, and you say, I want this burden to be gone. And God says, I'll take it if you'll lay it down. This morning, I just want to ask all of us, I just want us to bow our heads for a second, close our eyes. Maybe just for a moment, just offer a prayer to God, what you want to leave behind and what you want to take hold of in 2020. Maybe confess that you want to be a better prayer, that you want to be a better reader. Just spend a moment asking God for what you want. thank you that you hear us, that you listen to us, that you love us, that you care about us. God, today I just pray. I pray in faith that you would make us into the people that we need to be. God, for those that are struggling in this place, maybe in their marriages, I pray that you would bring new life. Father, for those whose faith is on shaky ground, God, I pray that you would take hold of their feet today and place it next to you. God, I want to pray that you would bless our families, that you would help us to be healthy and strong. God, we pray for your Spirit to be poured out in our lives to overflowing, that we might become representatives of the gospel and the kingdom. So, Father, today, I just pray, I ask, I beg, that you would make us into your church, that you would lead us where you would have us to go, that you would inspire us and help us to grow in our faith, to grow in our worship, to grow in our relationship. Father, we pray that you would give with both hands today, that you would hold nothing back, that we would be overwhelmed by how good a Father you are. I thank you for the prayers that have been offered in this place today. God, I just pray that you would hear them, that you would lead us and lead our lives.